Welcome back to Mid-Ohio Hockey Talk. I'm Pam Spencer along with Gage Telez and Darren Schulman, and we talk a lot of things hockey here. We usually start out with the rules guru, Darren, and he has a question for us or some comments and whatnot, so we'll get to that in just a minute. I do want to talk about the fact that we've got multiple games to cover quickly, and then, of course, we've got an injured reserve list, and while James Van Riemsdyk is not on the injured reserve, we're still going to talk about his injury. Oh, my goodness. No, that was rough. We'll bring you up to date on the OSU men's and women's teams and how they're coming along, and it is high school hockey championships this weekend. I'm so excited for the kids. That is Friday through Sunday, so we will talk about that a little bit on the show. And right now we're going to turn it over to Darren, who is going to basically go over a rule for beginners or a rule for longtime hockey fans. You just never know what he's going to come up with. Sometimes it's associated with a recent game, and we'll just have to wait and see. What you got for us, Darren?
Well, I was at the game on last night. We're taping on Friday, so this would have been the Thursday night game against the Utah, whatever they're going to be names. Mm-hmm. And there was a fight. So this is a very topical rules. And I'm going to tell you in advance, I'm not going to be able to answer all your questions because I'm reading the rule book and I still can't figure out why they let these guys fight. But mm-hmm. I do have a lot of rules that will help us at least understand a little bit about the rules. So first of all, under the rules, what is considered a hockey fight?
When you drop the gloves and you pretty much go at it, right? When you drop the gloves, that's it.
Sometimes they don't drop the gloves anymore, but yeah. I agree with Gage. It's usually supposed to be you drop the gloves. Yeah.
Right.
So this is an interesting rule definition. I'm not going to say you guys are wrong, but we're going to give you chances to get A's, but right now it's incomplete. So under the rules, fighting, a fight has occurred when at least one player punches or attempts to punch an opponent repeatedly, or when two players wrestle in such a manner as to make it difficult for linespersons to intervene and separate the combatants.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So multiple punches and they got more wrestling, which I thought was interesting.
Okay.
That's kind of random. So now there's two words under the rules that I think would be useful to see if you know the difference of.
Okay.
Do you know the difference between an aggressor and an instigator?
Instigators,
this is where you can get your A's.
But
I have no idea.
Those are awfully similar, but I guess the instigator would be the one that started it.
Yeah.
But could the aggressor also be the same person? Or is that the opponent?
Or the person who won, or so-called won the fight.
Oh, yeah.
But then the influencer dropped the gloves first. Right? So I'm going to go with influencer, drop the gloves first.
Instigator.
Or instigator. And then the aggressor is the one who took them down, I guess.
Oh, okay.
Right? You know what? I think you guys are pretty
close.
Good.
Yeah.
You're close. So let me read you the definition of aggressor, which... it seems kind of weird, and I wanted to give them to you together because you'd think aggressor all independently might be the one who started the fight, but I think you're right. So an aggressor in an altercation is the player who continues to throw punches in an attempt to inflict punishment on his opponent who is in defenseless position or who is an unwilling combatant.
Okay.
So that's when, you know, they're always fighting, and at the end he takes him to the ice, and they kind of turtle up, and he keeps punching him.
Right.
That makes him the aggressor. So I guess to your situation where you say he's the person who won, I think you're pretty much right. If they keep pounding on him, that's the aggressor. The instigator, slightly different definition, a little bit more confusing, but an instigator is a player who by his actions demonstrates some or any of the criteria: distance traveled, gloves off first, first punch thrown, menacing attitude or posture, verbal instigation or threats, conduct in retaliation to a prior game, or obvious retribution for a previous incident in the game or season. So they basically have a lot of latitude here. There's another part of the rules where it says the refs kind of can do what they want. But, you know, to your point, Gage, if you throw your gloves down first and you say you want to fight, you're the instigator. If you go really far across the ice to go after someone, you could be the instigator. Or if you throw that first punch, you're the instigator. Mm-hmm. So that person can get a 2-minute penalty. That's a minor. And then you would also get the major penalty for fighting. But the instigator could get a 10-minute misconduct. So you can get, like, everything if you're an instigator and an aggressor. You can get, like, everything.
Wow, okay. So that's, like, what, 18 minutes of penalties for one fight? Like,
So did you watch the game last night?
I was at the game last night, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you saw the fight where they was basically, and I was up in the upper bowl, but there was a pretty big hit on a Blue Jackets player, and we were all thinking, oh, cool, we're going to get a penalty, and we didn't. Mm-hmm. And then Severson came in and said, well, I'm just going to fight you then. Mm-hmm. So both him and the other guy, I think it was Fagel, or I don't know how to pronounce his name,
yeah,
F-O-G.
It was.
You know, they got in a fight. They both got the five for fighting, but then we got the instigator, and I think that now that I look at the rule, it's because he was trying to settle the score for a prior incident, which is that hit.
Which added, that makes sense. Which then added another 2 minutes, and then we may have been sitting very close together, Darren, because I was up in 228 on last night's game. But I saw that, and boy, was that arena ticked off.
I had my bad parenting moment because my 5-year-old was with me, and we teach her about good words and bad words. Ooh. But everyone was yelling, refs, you suck.
Yeah.
So she started cheering it. With her. I said, Parker, you can yell refs, you suck at this point. But just don't do it at school.
Yes, oh, no. Don't do it at school.
Oh, no.
Don't do it at someone else's house. Oh, only in the arena.
There was a little 5-year-old girl yelling it, and she was totally happy about it.
I love it. So. Good for her.
Saying refs, you suck is what the best part is.
That's awesome.
Wow.
So I think the thing to take away with this fighting thing is like that it literally says in this rule, but most of the hockey rules are like this. There's a lot of ref discretion. Mm-hmm. So they're looking at, you know, I don't think you're going to get a clear scientific explanation on things, but at least knowing those categories of retribution and how far you went and dropping gloves, that kind of shows you, oh, that's why he got it.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
So I'm giving you guys an A, by the way. You got the difference between instigator and aggressor. Yeah. You earned that A.
Cool.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So let's stay on the theme of the fights, because I think it was the Dallas Stars 2 games, the previous game and then the most recent game. Olivier started a fight like 3 seconds into the game.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that had to be a carryover from the previous Dallas Stars game. And I really didn't see anyone explain it very well. So if you guys have anything to add on that, but it was, I looked up at the clock and it was stopped at 1957 in the first period. And I'm like,
they're not rivals. They don't play each other all the time. Like,
I know.
What is going on here?
Right.
Yeah. And that was the Buffalo game, by the way.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah, that was
Buffalo.
Game.
All right. Yep. Sorry.
No, but still, like, your point proven. That was great.
I know. I had just gotten back. I mean, I had turned it all on, was ready to sit down and watch the game, and then I stepped away to get, you know, water or something, you know, and I'm heading back through the house to the living room, and I look at the bottom of the screen and they're already fighting, and it says 1957 period one, and I'm like, what?
Yours
3 seconds in, you drop the gloves 3 seconds into the game. That's great.
Not to get so carried away, but Olivier behaved himself last night, but he still managed to get the penalty box.
Oh, of course.
Because he had a 2-minute high sticking.
Absolutely.
Anyway, continue.
Yes. No, I just had to talk about how it caught me off guard. So
his penalty minutes are racking up.
All right, so we have quite a few games to cover here. Let's start with the January 25th 3-2 overtime win over the LA Kings. Any comments before we move on to the next game?
You go ahead,
Kings are a pretty solid season so far. I don't think they're in they're not like one of the most talented teams, but they have a really good defense, and that's a good win.
Good. All righty. And then on the 30th, we had a 2-1 overtime win over the Vegas Golden Knights.
Another awesome team that is kind of proving my theory that we can beat the teams we shouldn't beat.
I was about to say.
Another great win.
Yes, I was about to say that. I'm looking at the next one. And a 3-2 overtime win over the Utah team. That team was kind of but we beat them the first time around.
In overtime again. So that's 3 games in a row.
I know.
In
it's
overtime.
Like we get 2 points, but still.
But then we're giving the other team 1 point.
Exactly. Oh, I hate that.
Yeah. Which is okay for Vegas and Utah because they're in the West, so we don't
right.
really care.
Yeah,
sure.
Good point.
Sure.
You know, and
sure.
LA.
And LA, for that matter. Right, right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So then we move on to we had a loss to the Dallas Stars and a loss to the Buffalo Sabres, and that was a bummer because The Stars was not a surprise. They're a very good team. But we were really expecting the win with the Sabres. Well, so, yeah.
Before we move on to Buffalo, though, that okay. Dallas Stars game right. was a banger. And when it I mean was. By a banger, a lot right. of our guys got beat up.
Yes.
And unfortunately, we lost Kirill Marchenko. He suffered a broken jaw. And in fact, what was it, four players that got hit in the face of the puck? Like, I don't know what was going on that night.
I know.
Even the Dallas Stars player, I forgot who what his name was, but
yes,
he
that's
had
right.
blood on the ice and he had to stop I saw play. That. I mean, it was a bloody banging mess on that game. Darren, do you have any thoughts about
the well, Dallas
it's
game?
It's just weird, like, because that's not the kind of injury where it's like a Tom Wilson hurting us because he's cheap or someone right. doing you yeah. know, cheap shots. I mean, getting yeah. the puck in the face is just really bad mm-hmm. luck, but Marchenko's having a breakout year, and
yeah,
I think that's going to hurt. Now, the nice thing is we have this break coming up for the – it's not the All-Star game, but it's the weird tournament they're doing.
Yeah. Right.
Yep.
So
yep.
that's like free healing time where we're not losing games.
Now, I right. haven't looked ahead. Is there an All-Star break at some point, too?
I think this replaces the All-Star.
That's what I thought this they were doing, replacing it. Got That's yeah. what I thought. Okay. Yeah. I just hadn't gotten that far to actually look into it. So, okay. Yeah. That's what I figured.
But I'm glad you mentioned that, Darren, because Kirill Marchenko is leading the team right now with the most goals so far this season. And, you know, to see him get taken out right there on the Dallas Stars game. But another thing to mention, you know, since we're already on the topic of the injured reserve, Zach Werenski showed a bit of discomfort midway through, what was it, the second period, where he was kind of holding on to his shoulder blade, it looked like, and he actually ended up leaving early during that period. But then he returned during the third period, but then he did not play during the Buffalo game. Pam, do you have any additional thoughts?
But he's back.
But
so,
he's back now, yes.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a minute. Let's go ahead and talk about one more game, and then we'll expand on the injured reserve stuff. We're kind of mixing it all up, which is fine. CBJ versus Utah, it was a 3-2 overtime loss for that second meeting of the teams. So
second and final for this season.
And you were at the game, and you said that the fans were definitely screaming, refs, you suck.
They were ticked. Yeah, exactly. Darren and I were both at that
That's
one.
Right.
They were ticked, and, I mean, we all were ticked. And the thing what was interesting about that is, it's not like, okay, you say, ref, you suck, and then, you know, we move on, right?
Mm-hmm.
Even after things moved on, it kept on going.
Right.
The boo. Darren, do you remember where it would go, boo, yay, because they go in our zone, and they come right back, and we go, boo.
Oh, yeah. That's funny.
Because well, we were like, boo the refs. I mean, it went on for such a long time. And I can understand why, because me personally, and I know our head coach does as well, Dean Avison, that was not a great call, in my opinion. I mean, why did we get an extra 2 minutes? Your guess is as good as mine. What did Toronto see that we didn't see? Who knows?
I think the reason we were pissed about that was that it looked like we should have gotten the penalty because he boarded them behind the – I mean, I'm a high up, so I'm obviously not on TV, but he boards him from behind his back and into the wall with head first, and so it looked like we were going to get a call. And then we didn't, and then we got the penalty, which just kind of double ticked us off.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You know,
I don't know there was a bunch of
that.
Physical plays where they did things that I think people, you know, everyone is an expert in the stands, right? But people thought we should have gotten a penalty for this physical play that we didn't get.
Yeah.
And so I think people were just frustrated that we weren't getting calls, and then we get a ticky-tack penalty the other way.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And you know, the theory that you bring up, Darren, is a team that we probably shouldn't be losing to, and that is the Utah Hockey Club.
Pick a name.
No, you heard about that, right, Pam?
Yes.
To be the Yetis,
we've talked about the Mammoth and the Outlaws and the Hockey Club. Just pick a name. Oh, good grief.
But I do want to say one thing about the Utah game. It followed my rule. We got a point.
Yes, we did get a point.
We almost blew it. At the end of the game, we got another penalty.
Yeah.
The last 2 minutes of the game, actually last minute and 30 seconds of the game, we were shorthanded.
Mm-hmm.
And then in overtime, we were shorthanded. So we could have definitely gotten no points there. So kudos to them for squeaking one out.
One's better than
Elvis Merzlikins, too. Yeah. And that penalty was on Zach Werenski, too. So not having Werenski out there for that, you know, first couple of seconds in overtime definitely had all of us on the edge of our seats. But, yeah. Yeah, Elvis kept it up there. And right. Despite the loss last night, I think Elvis Merzlikins did a very good job. I think he had a total of 51 saves last night. I think it might have been more than that. But my goodness, is he had a great season. And last night was a very good game for him. But then unfortunately, you know, the loss was caused by, and Darren, you probably saw this. It looked like we were trying to pass the puck into direction of Elvis, so then he would pass it on to, I can't remember, it was probably Zacharynski on the left side there, but then we didn't see that there was a Utah player, I don't remember the gentleman's name, but the Utah player was all by himself, we didn't see him, and then all of a sudden we passed the puck, and he's one-on-one with Elvis, and
he picked it off and got
behind him, and 33 seconds in overtime, it looked like it was going to go in the shootout. But then we lose.
Reason I'm not disgusted is from a standings perspective, I think there is like a third tiebreaker down where you're better to go to shootout, but you get the same number of points. So
if
we're going to lose in a shootout, I mean, I guess we got the point at least. But I was like, oh, come on, 30 seconds left, dude.
Yeah, and with that 1 point, we are now 1 point away from getting back into that wild card spot, because if we would have won last night's game, we would be back in it. But, you know, we have the Rangers to meet on Saturday to hopefully turn that around before the long break. And hopefully maybe the return of Boone Jenner by the end of this month or early next.
So let's move on to the injured reserve list. And Boone Jenner is at the bottom of my list only because he's been out the longest for a shoulder injury. And they're saying March. They've said several times he's already skating. He's full gear now. So hopefully he will be ready when we come back from the break. Eric Gudbranson, we'll just work backwards here. Eric Gudbranson, also a shoulder injury. So on hold, TFN. Igor Chinnikov, a lot of folks on social media are asking, where the heck is he? Yeah, all they're saying is upper body, but they're not even giving any updates.
Yeah.
So I'm at a loss on what's going on there. Of course, we remember Monahan has the hand and wrist injury, so no estimate there. Dante Fabro is an upper body injury. Zach is back, but we did talk about the fact, in fact, Gage and I talked about this off the air, the fact that even though he returned the next game, I don't think he's 100% right now, so I'm really looking forward to the break here for him as well to give him time to,
fully heal.
Pack him in ice, for heaven's sakes.
Yeah.
I was surprised they didn't give him these two games off just to heal up.
I am too. I agree.
Yeah.
I know he probably wanted to play, and a lot of times the trainers make the decision if it's not extremely serious, they will leave it up to the player. So that's probably what happened in this example. Mm-hmm. And we talked about Kirill Marchenko and the broken jaw. His original estimate was 6 to 8 weeks, and they have since then changed that to indefinitely. And they knew that he had the broken jaw from almost the beginning. So the 6 to 8 weeks was an estimate. And then I've got James Van Riemsdyk on here on my injured reserve notation, only because I want to talk about the fact that he had 4 teeth knocked out. Ugh. They sewed him back together. He was back in the game. Then he had a stitch taken out to remove a tooth that showed up that they had stitched in. And then he had surgery for a bone graft and a root canal, and he was back the next game with a full face shield. I'm going to tell you what, that's a tough kid right there.
Yes, he is.
For him.
I can't imagine you lose 4 teeth, and like that's got to be terrible.
That makes my mouth hurt just thinking about it.
And then you go back and play, and then, like you said, surgery, and then you're back the next game. Like,
He can only eat from a straw.
Yeah.
You're downplaying the worst part about it.
Okay.
They sewed the poor dude up, and there was either a tooth or a piece of tooth still up under
there. Well, you know that they shot him up with some painkiller in his mouth, too. Some serious Novocaine there. Yeah.
Because there's something in there. Like, how gross and painful is that?
I know.
He hasn't missed any time.
I know. I agree.
Oh, man.
But I just had to cover that because, oh, my goodness, what a kid.
He's wearing the face guard. Yeah,
and he can play. That's what they're saying. So
playing.
I know. One more game. Got the Rangers Saturday night. One more game, and then they can all catch their breath.
Yeah,
so,
really.
Yes.
You know, Pam, when you're reading that injury list, you know, it would have been a little bit nicer when, Zach was also out. But that's a pretty good starting lineup right there.
Of
all those dudes out, you could have a pretty good team.
I sure hope we get all of these guys back in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
At least most of them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, especially, and I can understand why maybe they decided to choose or they, as in we don't know they, but it's it. You brought it up really well. I think Zach himself decided I want to play because
right.
he saw
the trainers.
That we're on a,
yes.
the trainers because we're on a losing streak right now. We're on a 3-game losing
yes.
streak. So we
right.
lost to Dallas, Buffalo, and Utah, mm-hmm. and we're in a very, very good spot here. And now we kind of got knocked out by losing to Buffalo there. So I think Zach saw.
Oh yeah.
I want to go out there and get stuff done,
right.
and I will not be surprised to see him again for the Rangers game.
Yes.
That one's also going to be a challenging game, but
will.
We're at home ice, so that's good.
That's helpful.
It's going to help.
Right.
But then again, it's the last game before the long break.
Mm-hmm.
I will definitely expect to see Zach out there.
I do
maybe
too.
Not 100%, but you know,
hopefully.
I was expecting maybe, okay, maybe less ice
mm-hmm.
time, but no, they're giving him just as amount of ice time as
I, know.
I normally would see Zach out there.
Yeah.
Maybe it was a bit less on yesterday's game, like, I mean,
I don't know.
I just remember seeing him out there a little bit longer, but I could understand why.
Right. So let me take a moment to talk about OSU men. They are 16-8-2 and number 9 in the NCAA, and they take on Notre Dame at Notre Dame this weekend. The OSU women's team is in town. If you would like to see them at the OSU ice rink on Lane Avenue, they're taking on St. Thomas. It's a 6 p.m. Friday and 1 p.m. Saturday game with a post-game skate. That would be fun. And of course, the OSU women remain number 2 in the country in the NCAA.
Good job, ladies.
High school hockey standings. We will not be giving you a list because they are in their championship this weekend. It's the Blue Jackets Cup 2024-2025 High School Hockey Tournament. You can see the full schedule and figure out which teams you would like to go and watch. CapitalHockeyConference.com. The event runs Friday through Sunday. And as far as the club teams, those kids work hard too. The current standings for the Greater Columbus High School Club Hockey League, or GCHSCHL.net. And right now in the gold, it's Dayton Gold, Hilliard Wildcats, the Miami Redhawks, and the Newark Generals. In the silver category, it's the Dayton Silver, Northeast Storm moving up ahead of the PHA Prowlers this week, the Westerville Warcats, and the Athens Bobcats. And for the junior division, it is the Dayton Stealth, the Miami Redhawks, the Newark Generals, the Hilliard Wildcats, the Westerville Warcats, the Irish Eagles, the PHA Prowlers, the Northeast Storm, the Columbus Ice Hockey, and Dublin Irish in that list. And we congratulate all of those kids at the, as they continue their club hockey standings. So,
woo-hoo.
Gentlemen,
yeah,
we've covered a lot of material on Mid-Ohio Hockey Talk today. Final thoughts.
My final thoughts is, let's get a win tomorrow, or as of the time of this recording, let's get a win against the New York Rangers. We play them 2 more times this regular season, and then give our chance. Guys need to heal up. And
yes.
then we come back at home again to open up this long break against the Chicago Blackhawks. Let's get a win there as well. I do want to mention the Carolina Hurricanes are on a 3-game losing streak right
yes!
now. So they're not doing so well. And we're only about 6 points behind the Devils. They are also on a 1-game losing streak. However, the Capitals, they're so far up there. I mean, they're on a 2-game winning streak, 79 points.
It's a big year for Ovi.
It's a huge year for the Capitals.
Yeah.
So I'm sure they're all about that. And also keeping an eye on the Detroit Red Wings too, because we also play them later this month
in the big game.
They are on a 7-game winning streak. So the Red Wings are on fire right now, so hopefully we can put a stop to that later this
we
month.
We will meet them at the Stadium Series March 1st.
But before we do that,
we see them already.
We see them at Little Caesars Arena on the 27th, and
okay.
then the Stadium Series
all
later
right.
this month.
All righty, Darren, final thoughts.
If you're on the fence about the Stadium Series, first of all, shame on you. You need to go. But they did release the entertainment. I think if the 21 Pilots is maybe playing at the game.
Intermission.
And then the pregame concert is a free concert with OAR, which
right.
is another Ohio
That's right.
group. So
yeah.
hey, get down there, man. Get your tickets. This is going to be a once-in-a-lifetime experience because I don't think they're going to be rolling back up to Columbus anytime soon.
Yeah,
so
you're right. It'll definitely be a cool event.
It took a long time for us to even get this event
yes,
booked. So
took a
the
long
fact
time.
That it's booked and it's here, you know, I'm definitely leaning more
and the
towards
the game will mean
go.
Something. Like
yeah.
It's going to be like a meaningful game in the standings most likely. So
yes.
yeah, this is going going to be great.
I agree. Yeah,
for sure.
I am trying to get some information from the OSU folks on parking, because I'm seeing a lot of social media comments about how much the parking is costing when they try to basically order it online. So as soon as we get any details, we will, of course, share that with you and get it online as well. So thank you so much for listening. We appreciate you listening to Mid-Ohio Hockey Talk. We'll be back in a couple of weeks, and go Jackets.